Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me as we continue discussing Jesus's healing miracles, his powerful miracles, and his teaching and his preaching in the Gospel of Luke, as we're journeying together to say, Jesus, we want to see you. We want to know you. We want to be so deeply familiar with how you walked, how you talked, how you set up your ministry, and ultimately how you brought the kingdom of God to earth. And this is a really important thing that we talked about yesterday. Jesus is bringing of the kingdom of God. And this is what Christianity is, friends. This is what Catholicism is. Not just like a good way of living, not just a virtuous lifestyle that gets us to heaven someday, but an actual invasion of the culture of heaven here on earth so that the world begins to change. That the vision is not like here on earth, the kingdom of darkness just wins and then we'll eventually escape it and get out of here. The vision is that God is going to come one day to judge the living and the dead and make a new heaven and a new earth. And we, as we are ambassadors of the kingdom, are part of the process of the renewal of the earth, a renewal that Jesus put into place, that he put into process when he came in his first coming and said, I'm going to come again. And in it, he lays out the standards of the kingdom, the actions of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom. And we, in our baptism, are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. So now we are members of the heavenly kingdom. And so the conviction is to say, as we're reading what Jesus is doing, as we're reading what he's done, as we're reading what he's like, these elements of the preaching, not just of a gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom. Is what does this look like for us? How does this lead us into deeper knowledge of Jesus? And now what does it mean in our lives? How are we participating every day as ambassadors of the kingdom? It's powerful, powerful stuff. So yesterday we began to talk about Jesus's healings, right? How a great multitude, again, how many people do you imagine when you think of a great multitude? I think of Madison Square Garden filled, or like a bunch of people. And imagine like what it would be like to have those people following you all the time. And I want to say, this is a side note, but these people are following Jesus all the time. Jesus probably had the most demanding schedule ever, right? It's like 7 a.m., preach. 7:30 a.m., heal 35,000 people. You know, like going through and over and over and over again, he's busy, that it says he prayed he would go off in the night and pray. He would go off into the night and pray, that his secret place with his Father was of utmost priority to him. And so just a side note, Jesus was super, super busy. Jesus did not have a lazy life. He had a super active ministry. He was always going, and he still had time to pray. You know, that's a word for some of us, because sometimes the external things that we're doing, we're like, well, it's good or it's godly, so it can replace what that time that we have in our hearts with God of saying, how am I prioritizing? A big part of doing kingdom work and representing the kingdom and participating in what Jesus is doing is being in the secret place. Because for Jesus, all of this comes from the secret place. And he, even though he had constant communication with his Father, he was never apart from his Father inside. He still made that separate time to go off with him. So I think that's a conviction for all of us. That's just a little side note. So let's go ahead and pray. And then we're going to read again some of chapter 6. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you and we worship you. We magnify you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no matter when we're listening this today, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the afternoon, whether it's a week after this aired, wherever we are, whatever time it is, we give you our hearts. And we submit to you as the Lord. And Holy Spirit, we ask that as we're reading about just the activities of Jesus, of how his ministry, as he walked through the earth, all of these different things, that you would give us a spirit in the words of Paul, of wisdom and revelation, so that we may grow in the knowledge of God, not a knowledge that is dead, that is static, that's just facts about Jesus went here and Jesus went there, but a knowledge that is living and active, that leads to a knowing, to an intimacy. Jesus, we love you. We ask you to speak to us today. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to start again, verse 17. 6:17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came in to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power had come forth from him, and he healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes to his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." I'm going to stop there because that is a lot to unpack. This is dense. This is intense to take in. And it's hard at times to say, to not just glaze over this. And this is why I want to really get into this, because whether we read this on the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in Matthew, or we read it here, we're just so used to kind of hearing this. And we're like, oh yeah, Jesus said those blessed are you things. And he said some stuff that like seemed kind of crazy, like love your enemy, or like be rejoice when people revile you, like all that kind of stuff. But we don't actually, I think, end up taking those things to heart. And I think these teachings of Jesus become kind of periphery. But the reality is that we look at how specific are these teachings? They're pretty specific, right? And so there's a way that Jesus, yes, he's developing in us a heart posture, but he's also being very prescriptive on how he wants our hearts to change and what he expects from us, right? And so it's amazing to read these, and we want to really get into these. And the scriptures, I want to give a little bit of background. The scriptures have kind of a background of what we call the blessings and the woes, you know? And Jesus has a lot of famous ones, but it's a thing that is done in scripture to kind of help. It's a common biblical pattern. You see it in Deuteronomy, you see it in the Old Testament, but these blessings, blessed are blank, announce God's favor. Announce God's favor in life that flows from faithfulness. While these woes, they're prophetic warnings that expose injustice, pride, or even misplaced trust in idols. And so I think a good way to think about this is that they're not just like opposites. It's not just like, well, hungry and full and da-da-da, but they're actual invitations. They're blessings that call us. The blessings call us forward deeper into God's favor, and the woes call us back to God. And we see this in the Old Testament. There's woes in the prophets in Isaiah. Isaiah 5, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5 again, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. The prophet Amos, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. And there's a lot in the book of Amos that condemns exploitation of the poor and religious hypocrisy. Habakkuk, woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. And so the role of the woes within the context of the prophets is to awaken people's consciences, not to just condemn, not to just say, woe to you, but to awaken these consciences to say, how can we live differently? God is inviting us into something. God is inviting us into something. You see this in covenant blessings and curses in Deuteronomy 28, blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. You know, the woes kind of come about in Deuteronomy. It says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Psalms start out. I'm going to keep going. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessings follow humility, righteousness, fear of the Lord, and obedience. And woes, which is often implied, follow pride and injustice. And so I think there's really, before we're even getting into the specificities of the blessings and the curses Jesus is putting out here in Luke 6, is there's something about the kingdom that Jesus is introducing that's profoundly different. And there's something about Jesus is saying, in my kingdom, in the place that I'm establishing, in the kingdom that I'm establishing with my Father, in order to enter, the culture of this kingdom is that blessing comes from obedience. Blessing comes from not being strong, not being mighty, not being wise in your own eyes, not getting the job done, but submitting yourself to Christ. And I just want to say this, friends, that's not religiosity or too intense or legalism or whatever it is. Jesus expects us to obey. He expects us to obey because obedience is a fruit of love. And he does this, he begins to call out the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, those who are outwardly religious without inner conversion. And the way that he can see that they don't have an inner conversion is the way they respond to him. They question him. What are you doing? Why are you doing it that way? You're not allowed to do this on the Sabbath. But the blessings and the curses, the blessings and the woes, they set up a structure. What Jesus is doing is he's setting up a structure to say, this worldly structure is not the way of the kingdom. It's not the way of the kingdom. As we're getting a picture of Jesus, as we're seeing an image of Jesus, Jesus was profoundly countercultural. And he's saying the ways things are done are being done in the Roman Empire. The things even that you've become to normalize as Jews in the context of the Roman Empire, this is not how the kingdom works. I've come to establish a new kingdom, and obedience is actually required in this kingdom. It's not like you buck off rules. Right, so there's all these rules in the world of how you follow the king, of what you need to do with Caesar, all this kind of stuff. And Jesus didn't come to say, buck off authority, buck off rules, do whatever you want now. He comes to establish a new way of order that fulfills the law. And so we see this in the structure of the blessings and of the curses. The establishment of the values of the kingdom. What does it mean to be obedient in the kingdom? And friends, we need, as we're reading this, we're going to get in really detail tomorrow into the blessings and into the woes. We need the Holy Spirit to rearrange our hearts and our minds, because our hearts are so attached. Our hearts are so attached to the way of the world, where the strong succeed, the strong survive. It's all about what I can do. It's all about me. And we need a renewal of the mind to be able to receive God's blessings. And so to say, like, not only am I doing kingdom behavior, but do I think about things the way Jesus would think about them in the kingdom? And to ask the Holy Spirit to come and soften our hearts and minds to say, I want my mind and my heart to be rearranged to match what is valuable to Jesus. Not only do I want it, but I need it. This is holiness, friends. To have our minds and our hearts rearranged to the values of Jesus in the kingdom of God. Join us again tomorrow as we go through the blessings and the woes. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.